Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, the role of linoleic acid in asthma and other inflammatory conditions, a randomized study from the University of Hong Kong. What does it mean? It means that there are good, healthy vegetable oils like olive oil that can help you with asthma. That and a lot more good information on health. Also today, a special original, in-depth investigative reporting article, Wikipedia and Vaccine Propaganda. That is an in-depth look. This is already posted, so I'm asking people in this audience, please read it, download it, and share it. It's one way that we, the people, can challenge those who are using their power, and frequently anonymously, and who have no qualifications or background in what they're talking about, and especially when it comes to attacking people who are questioning vaccines. In light of that today, I'm also playing an audio clip. This is a very important one. There is no safe vaccine is the title of the audio clip from this mother. I want you to hear what she has to say. This should be shared with everyone before they vaccinate. Now, whether you vaccinate or not is your business, but at least know the truth. Also, time permitting, a commentary from Professor of Economics at George Mason University, Walter Williams, our free speech crisis. I think it's very important that we hear this, because we do have a crisis with free speech today. But first, on health and healing, if you have asthma or other inflammatory conditions, according to this well-designed study, and it was a crossover study, if you had vegetable oils, healthy vegetable oils, not the refined ones, you could have a benefit that's based upon the white blood cell traits with relevance to the identification of new interventions for asthma, meaning if you have asthma or your child has asthma, there are certain healthy oils like, for example, olive oil and avocado oil that can make a difference. From the University of Rivera in Spain, a study finds eating pistachio nuts can help reduce damage to your DNA and therefore help slow down the aging and disease processes. According to the study, the researchers in the Institute of Health discovered that eating just a handful of pistachios, that's about a half a cup, as part of their diet, can positively affect cellular aging and longevity. And the study is the first of its kind to determine the positive effects of pistachios and also for pre-diabetics. Now, we have about somewhere around 60 to 70 million pre-diabetics in the United States. So those are people who could benefit from this. So that's good because it reduces the oxidative damage to the DNA and the telomere shortening. See, the shorter your telomeres become, that's the end caps on your chromosomes, the quicker your cell ages and dies, senescence. Hence, the quicker you die. The longer your telomeres stay lengthened, the longer that organ and tissue lives. Hence, the longer you live. Like good exercise lengthens the telomeres. A healthy plant-based diet lengthens the telomeres. Thinking positive thoughts and sharing positive energy lengthens the telomeres. Being around nature and what is called green bathing, being able to go into the woods, a park, the forest, and even in your own backyard, if you have nice shrubbery and plants and flowers, that's bathing your body in the energy of that green. And all that's good. So, pistachios. Also from the University of Southern California, a study about how healthy blood vessels can be the answer to Alzheimer's prevention. Now, what they're saying is this. Most people don't think about Alzheimer's or any disease till they have it. But your best opportunity at preventing cardiovascular problems, and hence by preventing cardiovascular problems, through exercise and healthy diet, the things we talk about all the time on this program, you're going to be less likely to have diabetes. Because a healthy diet not only helps the heart, it helps prevent stroke, it thins the blood. Green vegetables, garlic, onions, thin your blood, reducing clotting. So one good approach impacts multiple diseases, including the brain and inflammation in the brain. And what they found was that healthy blood vessels are the key to brain health in old age. And their work shows that damaged capillaries in the brain, rather than plaques and tangles of abnormal proteins, may set the stage for Alzheimer's decades before memory problems emerge. Remember earlier this week I suggested that from a study that Alzheimer's actually begins about 30 years before any symptoms. So for most people, it starts in their 40s. This work, as well as the latest findings from dozens of other University of Southern California Alzheimer's scientists, is on display at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. So that's good that you have healthier veins. Now, how do you have healthier veins? Vitamin E, pomegranate and pomegranate juice, and vitamin C, and coenzyme Q10. That's how you have healthier veins. Also from Ohio State University, they did research appearing in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine and proving once again that antiviral herbal medications are found to be effective against the influenza virus. And that was an overall medical review. And they found that the rapid mutations in the influenza virus makes it a significant threat to the well-being of a variety of organisms. And the high mutation rate of the virus has allowed it to generate new strains that are resistant to commercially available antiviral drugs, including the vaccines, which I wouldn't recommend because they're very ineffective, especially for the flu. But astragalus, that famous Chinese herb, has dozens of studies on its antiviral properties, as does echinacea. Oh, and by the way, so does garlic and onion as well. From McMaster's University in Ontario, Canada, memory can be impaired by prescription blood pressure meds. But the good news is pomegranate, when you drink the juice unsweetened, improves the blood pressure and improves cognitive function. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology from the American Academy of Neurology. I suggest that you drink 2 glasses of pomegranate concentrate. Now, since it's a concentrate, I would say about 3 ounces. Dilute it in whatever else you want to dilute it with, and you have that twice a day. That's for people who have, let's say, any problem with blood pressure. Now, if you put vitamin C in there, that's an additional benefit because vitamin C in and of itself helps you with blood pressure and thins the blood, as does vitamin E. Also, seeing greenery is linked to less intense and frequent cravings. This University of Plymouth, which is United Kingdom. So what it says is simple. Just being able to see green spaces from your home is associated with reduced cravings for alcohol, cigarettes, and harmful foods. And think about that for a moment. I remember when we did a retreat, the last retreat, a person came over to me who said that my wife said I wouldn't last, 5 hours here because I'm so hyper. And this person lives and works in Manhattan. And he said, you said that let nature talk to you. Don't talk with other people because then you can't hear what nature is saying. Just stay in silence because silence is very healing. And I didn't know what that meant because I'm never silent. Always busy. And when we were doing our meditation walk, and you said, just walk in silence and just be present. He said, for the first time in memory, I didn't say anything for at least an hour, and I started to relax. And then later, I went into the rose garden, where there are about 30 different varieties of roses, thousands of roses growing. And I just sat there, and I was watching butterflies and smelling the different roses, and it was quiet. It was very comfortable. And I just felt so at ease. I had none of my cravings to pick up a phone or go to my computer or to talk. I was just at ease. And also he said that he is a compulsive eater. And he didn't have his compulsions. At the end of the week, he had lost weight, was more grounded, and said that it was the best week of his life. The being with nature is a very important part of that. This was published in the journal Health and Place, and it's the first to investigate the relationship between exposure to natural environments and craving for a range of appetitive substances and the experiencing of negative emotions or feelings. You're going to feel better just being in nature. Also, Duke University researchers link aging with changes in brain networks related to cognition. And this was published in the Journal of Neuroscience. And what they said is that there are functional regions within the brain, we know that, that become less distinct and interconnected as you grow older. We know that also, especially in those networks related to attention span and cognition. Got it? Nothing unusual there. But here's the most important point. What can we do to reconnect these, to rebuild the dendrites? Just visualize a telephone pole, and you have a wire that carries your message. And now, of course, if you held that wire, you couldn't feel anything. If you opened it up, you just saw a bunch of wires. You wouldn't hear a voice. Those are vibrations. The vibrations are then decoded into voices. So now, imagine in your brain, you have hundreds of billions of these wires, and they're going to a central location in the neuron, and then that is communicated. Now you think, and you can remember, and you can talk, and you can feel something, stimulation. And all this because the synapse and the dendrites and the neurons are all working in harmony. So you're reconnecting. The key is that, unfortunately, the Duke University Medical School hadn't attended my 16-month brain aging health support group where we reversed Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and myasthenia gravis and other conditions. So we know how to do those reconnections. So at least they're saying this is why, as people get older, they lose their cognition. They walk into the room and say, what I come in here for? Also, from University of Pennsylvania comes an interesting study published in the journal Population and Developmental Review that says non-Hispanic whites in the United States, life expectancy outlook is getting really bad. What I mean that the researchers from Penn, the demographers there, show that though trends vary regionally, death rates are increasing, particular for women 25 to 44 years old, and especially so those in high-stress areas or in rural areas. All right, well, what's going on in white women 25 to 44? Well, a lot of them, unfortunately, are in crisis right now. A lot of them are coming out of college, some with advanced degrees, but are not finding the jobs in the area of their specialization. There's a long line of people in front of them. There's also people who've been in relationships between 25 and 44, and they've been substantially emotionally burned out. There are people who've overworked, especially career women. And we really should have a conversation in our society about not shaming women who choose to stay at home or men and raise their family. That has historically been an honorable profession. It takes a lot of work. If you have two or three kids and the amount of time and energy it takes to maintain that household and all the effort you have to go through, that should be honored, not like somehow you're not. Get back into the workplace. And so the energy was take off the apron and get back into the workplace. Well, you have no idea how many of those people I counseled, including a woman psychiatrist, a very successful one, a professor. And I remember sitting there and listening to her talk and talk and talk. She talked for an hour. I just said, tell me your story. And she was fully aware of what she had done. She got to a point where her and her group of women friends, and they would go out once a week and do something socially, and that's certainly enjoyable, bonding with people. But then there would be the sessions where they would talk about what's wrong in their life and the completeness of doing everything, the idea that they were the first generation, the post-second generation feminist, who could do it all. They weren't limited. They had the advanced education as physicians and psychologists. They were respected. They were on the career stepping stones. They were financially stable and actually had extra money to invest in different projects. They wanted a family. And so she decided that she would have a family. And so she did. And she had two children. And she said she didn't realize how much work it was to be a full-time mom, but she didn't want to give up her career. So she hired nannies and she hired sitters and people to take care of her kids. And there wasn't a whole lot of time for her and her husband, but then she didn't need a husband, she said. And so the relationship ended, not for any particular reason that he had done anything wrong. It's just that she felt somehow in her philosophy that he was just unnecessary. And then one day she wakes up and she has everything. And here's what exactly she said to me. She said, it's as if I turned around and on my shelf of life, I had every trophy you could have. Number one in my class, top person in my class up at Harvard, you know, top positions, high up in society, everybody wants me, I'm making good money, I'm investing, I'm doing, and then I have my family, and I'm lecturing, and then one day I wake up and I'm absolutely exhausted. I didn't want to get out of bed, and I realized that I had missed my kids' time. Other people were spending time with them on their birthdays and holidays and evenings, and I was always too busy. And she said, so I had that terrible, deep, aching pain of awareness that I had made all the choices and done everything I could do, and I was still as empty a human being as possible. I had no real good relationships. I had no passion. I just had work success, work success. And my kids ended up both being diagnosed with ADHD, and they were on medications, they were acting out. And I thought with some guilt, what if I'd have spent more quality time with them? What if I'd have paid attention to their diet, which I didn't? And she said, that's when I realized I was living a lie. And a lot of other, her friends, she also said, had done similar things in their life, and they were living lies. They had done it all and realized maybe they shouldn't have done it all. And the fact that you can do anything doesn't mean you should do everything. We have to have a balance in our life. And so I said, what do you want? What do you want from me? And she said, on occasion, I've listened to your shows. And I need a way of finding who I am. I'm now 46 years of age, and I'm clueless about who I am. And I've actually thought about suicide. So that's where we begin our journey. And I said, understand, I only counsel a person once. That's it. So everything that I know that could help you, I'm going to give you now. It took about 3 hours. Give her some videos to watch, and we talked. And about 2 years later, I get a note from her that she had changed most of the things in her life. And she was now offering counseling to other people who were going through crisis based upon the journey that she had gone through. So some of you probably are familiar with this in some respect. And so if you're one of those white women, 25 to 44, and you're kind of sad or confused about your place in life, understand what it would be like to wake up and you're 65 or 60 or 70. And just then are you becoming fully aware that you're on the downside of life and you're on the last stage of life. And do you want to go through some meaningless rituals every day just to fill the time until there is no more time? And what begets pain more than understanding the opportunities that you shouldn't have taken and did, and those that you did take and you shouldn't have? And that, what role did you place upon true happiness, joy, passion, creativity, friendship, relationship, and you didn't? Or the mistakes we make, and we all think, and all of us make this similar mistake, saying the wrong thing to someone, or the right thing that is said in the wrong way, or the right thing said in the right way that someone's not going to accept, and then later think, did I have to say it? And look at the consequences. How many times has someone been in your life, and then they're not? What happened? People stay in people's lives for a lot of reasons, not all of them positive, but when it is positive, then you're doing something right. So we should have an opportunity to give introspection. That's what I like about this University of Pennsylvania study. It looked at the reasons why people are going through crisis and living shorter lives, and especially people living in rural existence. Well, just look what it is to live in most rural existences. You think it's easy living on a farm? I've lived on a farm or ranch my whole life. It is not easy. You know, when you have animals to take care of, you have to be there and responsible. Someone has to feed them. Someone has to take care of them. Someone has to give them an enriched environment. Someone has to give them personal attention. Same way in relationships. Same way to ourselves. And then look at the storms. Look at all the farmers today who are wiped out. Look at the people down in Louisiana today whose homes are going to be flooded and they don't have flood insurance. So when the water finally does subside, they're going to be left with mold and they don't have the money to clean up all that mold. That's very expensive. So you see, there's a lot of issues we have to deal with in life, and we're not prepared and we don't have support systems. One suggestion I have that would help people is we should have a national, even international, health support system by phone, and you can even Skype, where people who have retired donate so much of their time a week, whatever they feel comfortable with, helping people when they give their specialization. So if you're having a problem in life that's not being answered, then you can go and you can see who is a specialist, where are they at, and then set time for some counseling with them, free counseling. For the people who have retired, this is a great benefit that they can give back some of the wise men and women insights and help other human beings. I'm a big believer in talking things out. You know, if we don't talk things out, we let things unsaid. And that's where a lot of our miscommunication comes in life. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Null. We're going to take a break and come back. And I'm going to answer two of our questions from the audience. That's all I have time for. Then you're going to hear an original in-depth investigative report about Wikipedia. And then I want to play you a video. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Someone's arms, and there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you.
Hi, Gary, a longtime listener and supporter. You've been speaking about 5G. I'm an engineer and set off on that a bit, but I was wondering what kind of meter you're using. I'd love to buy that meter. Unfortunately, I live in Douglas, New York, Queens, and they just put a pole right across the street from me up with the new tower, the 5G gizmo, the brown one. So I'm pretty bummed out about that because our bedroom is in the front. But anyhow, I'd love to find out about that meter you keep mentioning that you use and have. Thank you. Bye, Gary. Keep up the good work.
Okay. I carry with me all the time, everywhere I go, a GQEMF 390. Again, GQ, like gentlemen's quarterly, GQ EMF, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, F as in Frank, 390. And it's one of the best on the market. And what it does, it has multiple readings. I'm sitting at my studio, and now I'm going to see if you can hear this. I'm going right now in front of my microphone. My reading is normal, nothing. But now if I go towards my Comrex, and my Comrex is what takes my feed from the Progressive Radio Network's headquarters in New York and feeds it to me. Listen, see if you can hear this. It goes clear over to 3, very high, clear off the chart at 320. Okay? And then, but let's say that you can read the electromagnetic pulses, but you can read any pulse from a food dehydrator to a microwave oven. If you want to see it go off the chart, go into your car. It'll freak you out. Now, there's something you put in your car. I don't have time to tell you what all about it and how to get it, but you can put this little piece of mineral in there. It looks like a pyramid, and that will absorb it just like in front of your computer. But also, it shows you how far from a television, how far from a smart meter, how far from an overhead power line you have to be. It's certainly worth getting, and I would recommend everyone have one. They go anywhere from about $130 to $150. They're not expensive and certainly worth having. We'll take one more call.
Hello, Gary. I have a question. What do you think is better, to juice your fruit and vegetables in a juicer and throw away the pulp, or to use a machine like a NutriBullet where you get the whole fruit and seed and everything with the actual whole fruit?
I do not recommend juicing the entire product unless it's berries. Raspberries, grapes, blueberries, strawberries, pomegranates. There you can blend the whole seed because you need that. But for apples and oranges, no, I want the juice. Now, what you can do is you can use vegetables, and all of the vegetable fibers, you can use that as a vegetable stock. Make yourself a nice stock, and then you can use that in making rice or some other dish. And the reason is simple. We need, on a healthy diet, we need about low 35, high 50 grams of quality fiber a day from various fibers. And if you're taking all of your vegetables and fruits from the mix, you could be going much, much higher in fibers, and that can cause food to go too quickly through the intestines. You end up with diarrhea and not getting fully absorbed nutrients from the duodenum and other parts of the intestine where nutrients are absorbed. So juice, that's great. But then if you can always save what you blend and put it into compost or into stock, or, you know, use it in making esseen breads. There's lots of things you can do with it, okay? Now I'd like to share an original investigative report from Richard Gale and myself. This is entitled Wikipedia's Vaccine Propaganda Regime, and it's posted. Please share it. Share it with every vaccine group in the country. Share it with our legislators, especially the state legislators and federal legislators. Don't assume someone else is going to do it. During the past year, there's been a deliberate assault on medical sanity by the Silicon Valley internet giants and popular social media platforms in order to abolish and censor every voice and every website that challenges the orthodoxy of the CDC's vaccination policies. Last March, the American Medical Association's CEO, James Medra, sent personal letters to the heads of Amazon, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and YouTube. Quote, "To do your part to ensure that users have access to scientifically valid information on vaccinations so they can make informed decisions about their family's health, we also urge you to make public your plans to ensure that users have access to accurate, timely, scientifically sound information on vaccines," end quote. And the AMA, quote, valid information simply means that vaccines are completely safe and effective and the only means at civilization's disposal for combating infectious diseases. Now, of course, this is the same AMA that for over 100 years gave us misinformation, told us cigarette smoking would soothe your throat and was good for you, and challenged chiropractic, homeopathy, podiatry, and alternative medicine. They're not a scientific organization. They're merely the person who has the most power of making medical decisions in the United States. In effect, they're a union for doctors. In 2015, the AMA publicly announced it endorsed the elimination of religious and philosophical exemptions from immunization. Now, it's curious, therefore, to find that the association's code of ethics states, quote, patient autonomy is the overarching ethical consideration that forms the core of informed consent, end quote. Therefore, the AMA today is going exactly against its own code of ethics. Clearly, the AMA abides by a double standard. But association's critics have never recognized the organization's record as representing the public's best interest. Instead, it has a decades-long history of being fully compromised by corporate interests and political influence out of Washington and Wall Street. And now, it is again parroting the federal government's efforts to establish a vaccine police state. Pure medical fascism. A month earlier, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff likewise wrote to the CEOs of Facebook and Google with similar demands. All the contacted companies have now complied with the AMA's request to expunge anti-vaccine content and erect the false idol of vaccine safety. The American Academy of Pediatrics has also sent written requests to large Silicon Tech companies to confront what it calls, quote, the spread of vaccine misinformation online, end quote, meaning anyone who criticizes vaccines is misinformed. Tell that to the 7 million adults who have vaccine-injured children. The increasingly apparent focus is that most sites and publications climbing upon the vaccine wagon train are being heavily promoted, and anyone criticizing it are being censored. This week, the Huffington Post erased all content submitted by its contributing authors who questioned vaccine safety and efficacy, going clear back through its whole history. The nation's leading newspapers, such as the New York Times and Washington Post, the major television networks, as well as almost all the liberal magazines and online sites such as Alternet Mother Jones, have frequently acted as CDC mouthpieces to ridicule the anti-vaccine parents with injured children and wrongfully accuse parents of vaccine-exempt children as enemies of public health. Even public crowdfunding sites are joining the adrenaline rush, a pro-vaccine frenzy. Several months ago, the Indiegogo reported it would no longer permit fundraising for anti-vaccine projects or what the company termed unscientific, quote, health campaigns. Last year, the documentary Vax2, featuring parents with autistic children damaged from vaccines, raised over $86,000 on Indiegogo site. Likewise, the crowdfunding site GoFundMe has banned anti-vaccine content. Following a CNN business report that ridiculed Amazon for including films such as Vaxxed and We Don't Vaccinate on its Amazon Prime Video streaming service, the company quickly had them removed. More recently, Vimeo, that's V-I-M-E-O, YouTube's competitor, announced it would purge all videos that provide the scientific evidence supporting the Supreme Court's ruling in the case of Bruiski versus Wyeth, that vaccines are, quote, unavoidably unsafe, end quote. By the way, that's from the Supreme Court. Vimeo attorney Michael Chia argued in the company's statement that, quote, content that falsely claims that vaccines are unsafe is at the forefront of an unfolding public health crisis, end quote. Curiously, Vimeo has been a leading supporter of internet neutrality and sued Trump's FCC last year over its order to repeal the 2015 neutrality rules. Seemingly, Vimeo's persona of free speech is simply a ruse. The national campaign to black out and silence efforts to bring to public light the scientific evidence that should make a rational person stop and think critically about the health agency's claims about vaccines, mainly the CDC and the FDA and U.S. Public Health Service, is well underway, and it is proceeding far more swiftly than we anticipated. Even while researching this article, we have noticed the dramatic changes underway in trying to access truthful scientific references and analysis that challenge vaccinations. Therefore, we performed an identical queries on several internet search engines, beginning with Google, on all queries such as measles outbreaks in vaccinated populations. Google results produced a litany of pro-vaccine propaganda. The top hits all lead to federal vaccine information sites, shortly followed by Wikipedia. On the other hand, the same identical queries on encrypted and non-compromised or honest search engines such as DuckDuckGo and StartPage more readily brought up unfiltered references specific to our queries as well as actual peer review studies. And as we reported in a previous article, Wikipedia now walks parallel and goose-step with Google on matters of medicine and health. The Wikipedia Foundation avoids taking any official position on vaccination, rather relying upon its public image as an open source, objective, neutral, and certainly not biased resource. These kinds of decisions are supposed to be left for volunteer Wikipedia editors to battle out. Nevertheless, even an elementary review of its many vaccine-related vaccine pages makes it clear that Wikipedia is grossly, unabashedly biased. After a more thorough review, one is likely to arrive at the conclusion that the encyclopedia realistically serves as a propaganda arm of pro-vaccination advocacy groups and the federal health agencies and Big Pharma. It is not so much the textual content and references in the entries offered that is most worrisome. Instead, the important scientific data contesting vaccine efficacy and safety is sorely missing. Consequently, Wikipedia inquirers are only receiving a small sliver of truth in return for numerous examples of skeptical evangelism with the goal of indoctrinating the public to accept national vaccine mandates. In efforts, we want to see a vaccine cult, the USA vaccine cult. It is a big, big, big cult. Federal health and individual state agencies and efforts to pass bills that would enforce vaccination mandates have entered hyperdrive, especially after this year's measles outbreaks. What is being concealed from the public and very likely state legislators as well is that there is strong scientific evidence that many of those infected were fully vaccinated or that the vaccine measles virus was in part responsible for the outbreaks of measles. Vera Sherev from the Alliance for Human Resource and Research Protection summarized the CDC's full acknowledgement of the problem. It was not until 2017 that the Journal of Clinical Microbiology published a study that the CDC knew about individuals who contracted measles during the 2015 Disneyland outbreak that captured national news headlines. The study that showed the outbreak was, quote, in part caused by the vaccine. I repeat, the people with measles had gotten the measles from being vaccinated with the measles vaccine. That was conducted by Dr. Rebecca McNall, an official at the CDC's Division of Viral Diseases. The study reports, quote, during the measles outbreak in California in 2015, a large number of suspected cases occurred in recent vaccinees. Of the 194 measles virus sequences obtained in the United States in 2013, 73 were identified as vaccine sequences, end quote. Meaning, that up to 40% of the people who came down with measles had already received their vaccines, but it was the same strain, therefore the vaccine caused the measles. The CDC was fully aware of this finding, but kept it hidden from the media and the public for 2 years in order to enable a window of opportunity for states to mobilize their efforts to remove non-medical exemptions and pass vaccination mandate bills, like New York has done and California has done and Maine has done. An earlier groundbreaking study published in the Journal of Clinical Infectious Disease, which included authors associated with the CDC and New York's Department of Health, provided a case example showing that the 2011 measles outbreak in New York City originated from a fully vaccinated woman with vaccine immunity. That's where it started. The study's conclusion was that the measles vaccine itself is capable of both infecting the vaccine recipient as well as infecting others. How many of the recent measles outbreaks this year can be attributed to the MMR vaccine? Certainly the CDC has this information, but patient sequence data of measles cases is locked away and hidden. Why? Since the passage of draconian vaccine bills to eliminate religious and philosophical exemption in some states, health authorities have been alarmed at the rise in vaccine medical exemptions. The measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, or MMR, is perhaps one of the two most feared vaccines on the market, the other being Merck's HPV vaccine, Gardasil. Over the past 10 years in the United States, there has been one reported death. I repeat, in the last 10 years, there has been one single death from the measles. Okay. We get about 327 million people. That's one statistic. Others say 331 million people. To have one death in 10 years when you've got 330 million people, it means there is no cause for alarm. It's a natural infection. It strengthens the body's immune system, and then you're vaccinated by the measles itself, and you're immunized for life. It is unclear, based upon the medical history of the patient, whether or how the measles played a role in that patient's death. A second person died of measles this year, the two deaths from a wild measles infection in over a decade. Yet as March 31st, 2018, there have been 89,355 reports of measles vaccine reactions, hospitalizations, injuries, and deaths cataloged in the government's vaccine adverse events reporting system. This figure includes 445 vaccine-related deaths, 6,196 hospitalizations, and 1,657 severe disabilities. Now, fundamental failure of the VAERS system, which is the government's reporting system, is that it is a passive surveillance system that relies upon volunteer reporting of vaccine adverse events. The CDC acknowledges, and the former director of the CDC on my radio program acknowledged to me, that only about 10% of all annual vaccine adverse reactions are reported. Therefore, conservatively, we're looking at approximately 803,000 injuries from the MMR vaccine alone every year. If we follow a Harvard study conclusion that only about 2% of vaccine injuries are reported, then the actual number is substantially higher, well over a million, possibly as much as two. But you will not find any of this information on Wikipedia or the measles vaccine. But if you just had this report, and this is not controversial, in 10 years, up until this year, one person died, then two people dead from the measles, but 445 minimally died from the vaccine. Wow. And that's with conservative figures. Pharmaceutical-funded state legislators, such as California Senator Richard Pan, are now accusing pediatricians and doctors for this increase in vaccine medical exemptions. He and his supporters are now making the irrational accusation that doctors are simply satisfying parents' legitimate vaccine fears. Therefore, Pan has embarked on a Stalinist crusade to even prevent clinical physicians and pediatricians from determining for themselves whether or not a person should be medically exempt. On the other hand, you may want to consider another possibility that parents of children who were religiously or philosophically exempt have no other alternative but to request a medical exemption from their doctors in order to determine whether their children are more highly susceptible to a potential vaccine injury. Consider the list of medical conditions that are acknowledged to warrant exemption from the measles vaccines. Now, these are listed in Merck's product insert for its ProQuad MMR varicella vaccine. Quote, this is what can happen when you get their MMR vaccine. Post-experience of allergic reactions or anaphylaxis from previous MMR vaccination. Allergies to gelatin. That means think of all the people that have allergies to gelatin, which is meat. And neomycin, ingredients found in the MMR vaccine. Persons on immunosuppressive drug therapy. Pregnant women and women planning to become pregnant. Persons with leukemia, lymphoma, blood problems, blood plasma and bone marrow disorders, respiratory and active febrile infections, advanced cases of AIDS, and a family history of hereditary or congenital immunodeficiency conditions. You will never learn this from Wikipedia, which only contraindicates the vaccine for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Several examples stand out where pro-vaccine skeptic editors on Wikipedia have intentionally distorted the history and medical science about vaccines and federal vaccination policy in order to twist the entries into blatant propaganda for private vaccine makers. Regarding Wikipedia's entry for the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, passed by President Reagan in 1986, we read, quote, public health safety, according to backers of the legislation, depends upon financial viability of pharmaceutical companies whose ability to produce sufficient supplies in a timely manner could be imperiled by civil litigation on behalf of vaccine injury victims that was mounting rapidly at the time of his passage. Vaccination against infectious illnesses provides protection against contagious diseases and afflictions which may cause permanent disability or even death. Vaccines have reduced morbidity caused by infectious diseases, e.g., in the case of smallpox, max vaccination programs have eradicated a once life-threatening disease, end quote. This paragraph immediately appears to have little or no relevance to any entry about the government's program to identify vaccine makers. This is a common public relations pitch that frequently pops up on Wikipedia to swoon users into a stupor and to reinforce faith in the vaccine regimen and skepticism of extremism. The entry also fundamentally ignores the more important message underlying Reagan's signing of the bill, that is, the nation's medical consensus at that time was that vaccines caused serious injuries and even death, and rising lawsuits were crippling the vaccine industry's profit. It's that simple. Now, I'm about halfway through the article. You can go to our website, prn.fm, and read the entire article and share it with others. But we want to go now and play you about 5 minutes of a mother's problem that this is the title. She says that there are no safe vaccines. Listen to her story.
Sort of thing, but I recently received some hate mail and I just want to clarify a few things. So my daughter experienced a severe adverse reaction at her 2-month well visit, and I kind of wanted to go into that a little bit with you. For those of you who know me, I'm pretty verbal when it comes to vaccines, and you know, I can be pretty in your face about it. My friends will be the first to tell you that. I feel very strongly, and I'm very passionate about the way that I feel because of my daughter's reaction, that I need to spread awareness. I can say with my whole heart that there is absolutely no safe vaccine out there, not one. And that it only takes one ingredient in a vaccine to take a life away. This is really important to understand because there are parents right now being forced to make a decision to vaccinate their child in order for them to go to school, and they feel like they have no other choices, and it's a really terrifying visual for me because I know for a fact that it takes one ingredient, just one. And I say that because at my daughter's two-month well visit, we knew that we didn't want to do all vaccines, so we decided to do the selective. And we spoke to her pediatrician for a really long time, and it actually felt like an eternity. And we asked him what he thought were the ones that we should give her at that time. And he suggested to us the DTaP and pneumococcal. He assured us that she would maybe get a sore spot in each leg and maybe a fever. At no time did he say that she would stop breathing or she would have a seizure or she could, experience some other sort of adverse reaction. So we, after being pressured by our peers and family and doctors, we decided to do the DTaP and pneumococcal. The nurse came in and she was sleeping, my daughter, and she was on me, and the nurse jabbed her each leg. Now, there's a lot of stuff that you need to also take into consideration regarding vaccines. Like, did they shake it enough? What was the batch number, the lot number? Had it been stored properly? You know, there's a lot of other things to take into consideration. Was it the right vaccine? I've talked to many parents that have said that they were given the wrong vaccine, or their child received two of the same vaccine at one time, and it's just a really, really scary situation that you really have to be 100% sure that you want to do this. You cannot make a hasty decision. Don't be forced into anything. You have to know in your heart that you are making the right decision for your child. And understand the consequences. I didn't understand those consequences. I went ahead and I trusted him when he said that it was just a sore spot in each leg and maybe a fever. I cried harder than she did, but not long after, she developed that high-pitched scream, the one that you hear about, the one that you never want to experience. And there was nothing that we could do to console her the whole ride home. And we got her into the house. I remember swaddling her. It was September 14th, and it was very hot. We lived in the valley in a one-bedroom apartment. And I nursed her, and she fell asleep. And I remember thinking, finally, she fell asleep. And now I kick myself, and it makes me really sad to even think about the fact that I was so relieved that she fell asleep at that time, because what I'm about to tell you is like the most terrifying thing that any parent will experience. So my husband was going to meet some friends, and he assured me that he would only be an hour, and I begged him to stay with me because I was fearful, because I didn't know what to expect, even though she was sleeping in her crib, swaddled, and I was relieved that she was not crying anymore. But he assured me that she wouldn't be long and that I could call him anytime. But I had told him that my phone had been acting up and the juice in my battery would drain really quickly. I had needed to go get it fixed, and I hadn't. So he left, and she was in her crib, and I had to keep myself busy, so I remember going into the kitchen and sweeping the floor. And then I ended up making a sandwich because I hadn't eaten all day. I sat down on the couch, and the craziest wave, this wave of nausea and this force that came out of nowhere, this force that made me get up and go check on her. It was like this... it's so hard to explain. It was something that made me go in there. So I got up, and I remember my plate falling on the floor, and I didn't even care. And I ran into the room and I turned on the light and she didn't look right. And this all happened in the matter of seconds. I remember placing my hand on her chest and I just kind of rocked her a little bit. I called her name. I clapped my hands. I picked her up and her head sort of dangled. And I knew right then, I was like, I got to give her CPR. I'm like, God damn it. Fuck, this is happening. This is happening. So I remember laying her on the ground. Thank God. Thank God I was a flight attendant. Because had I not known CPR, I don't know that she would be here today. And I'll get back to this later, but I fucking urge all of you parents, please learn CPR. What seemed like another eternity, she responded. And she started breathing again, thank God. So I picked her up and I grabbed my phone and I dialed 911 and it died. Of course, my phone died. So I ran outside and I remember screaming so loud, please, somebody help me, call 911. And my neighbor came out and thankfully called 911 and the fire department was right around the corner. So they were there within seconds and they took over. Now we're at Children's Hospital and I remember the pediatrician coming in and after doing all these tests, I mean, we were there for hours and he determined that her reaction was indeed the DTaP. And in the same breath, he also said, had you not gone in and checked on her when you did, she would have been a SIDS baby. SIDS baby. Now I'm friends with parents who have lost their baby to vaccines. And I feel so guilty sometimes because I saved my baby. I was able to save my baby. And I just wish I was able to save yours. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for you. And the torture, the grief that you have to live with. I pray every day. Parents, please research more and understand, please. God, understand that there is no safe vaccine. There is absolutely no safe vaccine. And that it only takes one ingredient. One ingredient to take your baby's life away.
What I have to do is take a look at this kind of story, and you begin to realize why I am so concerned. Yet the entirety of the pediatric community has refused to acknowledge the legitimacy of what is happening hundreds of thousands and millions of times that this story has just replayed itself. Think of all the sudden deaths that were said, well, we don't know what caused it. Wasn't the vaccines? Yeah, it was. That's why I'm playing this. Please share this with other people. They need to hear this. And as we go out of our program today, I was asked would I do a special. And I am. I'm going to do it real quick. We haven't done one in several weeks. I'm going to do the ultimate anti-aging formula. This is a vegan preparation, and it's got my superstar nutrients. For those of you who care about your brain, care about your health, there's 120 vegan capsules. And I'm giving the PPQ, the pine bark extract, the pycnogenol, the NAD, the coenzyme Q10, the resveratrol, the turmeric, the L-carnosine, calcium, magnesium in equal quantities, biotin, folic acid, B12, B6, B5, B3, B2, B1, vitamin E, and vitamin C. Now, normally, this product would cost you a lot, and it's not. And we're even, it would be just by itself $125. But I'm giving you some education with it free. The education is the multi-award winning documentary, Age is Only a Number. Power Aging, another documentary. And Healing the Brain Naturally, another documentary. Three documentaries that you're getting that can really help you in your aging process or de-aging process or understanding what you got to do. These are really definitive. So how much would this cost if you had to buy it? $244.95. How much are you paying? today and for the next 36 hours only, $99.95. That's it. That's it. So it's called the Ultimate Anti-Aging Formula. It's a bottle of supplements, vegan, the best possible combination of the anti-aging supplements, plus three separate videos on aging. Age is only a number, power aging, and healing the brain naturally. Boy, a lot of people need that. And those are gifts because you're only paying $99.95, so you're saving a huge amount because this is regularly $244.95 you're paying. So what are you saving, $145? Wow. Give a call, and our number to call in, I'm going to get the number and give it to you right now. So, again, the total value is $245.99, and you're only paying $99. So this is going to help a lot of you. Make the call now, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. I'm asked all the time, Gary, what can I do for this? What can I do for that? Well, when I created this formula, when I created these documentaries, a lot of time and effort went into filming these, and I wanted to film them so that each one gave different information, all the top leading anti-aging physicians and scientists, and people that I personally work with who are remarkable in how they've turned their aging process and disease process around into wellness. So now you have three separate top documentaries as a gift. You're not paying a penny for those, plus you're getting a discount on top of that to get the number one anti-aging supplement in the world, the Ultimate Anti-Aging Formula. All you have to do is call this number while supplies last, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please share our information. This is very important on vaccines. Have a nice day.